Mr. Gawonis, will convert your hearing at this time, sir.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
President, Usman, 1-8-9-3-5.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on the warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on March 2nd, 2018. Is that correct, Mr. Guzman?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. You cannot see us, but in the room is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. And also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, who will be representing the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Guzman, do you solemnly swear, I'm sorry, Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm? Thank you. Mr. Guzman, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Please note that phase one will end in a separate vote before we pass to phase two. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether or not it is true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, Mr. Guzman?
Yes.
I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse the criminal or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation condition number three, is demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at Vivray, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about January 14, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were known, thus you had absconded from supervision. Mr. Guzman, is this true or false?
That is false.
Okay. Based on the fact that you state it's false, we're going to take follow-up information from our community corrections officer, and then we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and then we'll move to phase one. Thank you, Mr. Guzman and Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Allegation number one. On January 18th, 2018, CCO Apollo received a discharge letter dated January 17th, 2018 from Ryan Sturgeon, V-Ray Facilities Director. The discharge letter stated that the offender was discharged from his approved residence to V-Ray 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 8507 on January 17th, 2018 to leave their property on January 14th, 2018. The offender had not returned. The offender has not reported to the assigned parole officer since he left from V-Ray. The offender's current whereabouts are unknown, thus he is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up. On January 18th, 2018, CCO Apollo contacted Ryan Sturgeon, who reported that the offender did not return at the facility after leaving on January 14th, 2018. On January 18th, 2018, CCO Apollo attempted to call the emergency contact mother, Elma Soto, Jose Guzman's offender's brother, returned the call and stated he did not know where his brother was. Likewise, Maria, the offender's sister, also contacted CCO Apollo. She stated the last conversation she had with her offender was on December 29th of 2017. On that conversation, the offender told her not to contact him anymore. She asked CCO Apollo not to contact their mother because of a medical condition. On January 18th, 2018, CCO Apollo contacted the MCSO that reported the offender was not in custody. On January 18th, 2018, CCO Apollo contacted the Phoenix Baptist Hospital that reported the offender was not admitted at that time. To date, the offender has not contacted CCO Apollo regarding his whereabouts, nor has he reported to the Western Regional Parole Office.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Guzman. What is false about that allegation?
Okay. I did not leave without permission. They called 911 when I was gig. I was in the hospital for all of me. When I got out of the hospital, which I got through, my family was there this morning. I don't know if they're there back in right now. They have to pay for the application from the hospital where I was there for some days. When I got out, I went back to the halfway house. They told me that I had been discharged 2 days prior. Well, when I contacted parole officer Barlow, he denied return my text message. My mom tried to call him. I tried to call him. He denied return our call. So I was like, what can I do? 2 days later, I get a letter in the mail from parole officer Barlow telling me to call his number if I would like to fix this one or whatever was going on. I called. It's an answering machine. He never returned the phone calls. I didn't even know if he would have called alone. I would be at this address. I gave him the wrong address, and they said, no, they did there and they cut me up and they gave me over here. But I got approved for phone text messages. I don't know if my family showed up with it again right now, but they have all to prove that I was in the hospital with all that.
Okay, Mr. Guzman, I will say that we do have a copy of the Abrazo Central Campus Patient Education and Visit Summary, and I'll make a note of that, but we are going to pass through phase one of this hearing. During phase two, you will have a chance to speak to the board in detail. But for now, I am going to go ahead and pass through phase one, and that is based on the information provided in warrant number 2018-W0158, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and that he may have or have lapsed the criminal age of company. Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Mr. Wright, agreed upon by Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Guzman, we're going to continue the second phase of the hearing, and as I stated, you'll have a chance to speak to the board in detail. I did tell you before we started phase two that we do have a copy of your medical record. So no, it is during this phase that we'll make a determination whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If we'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions. Thank you, Mr. Guzman. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Guzman was released from DOC custody on January 13th of 2017. He was arrested on January 31st of 2018 by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit under the Wisconsin Warrant Status. And was returned back to our custody that same day. It was 17 Wisconsin days. And the community supervision ended on May 5th of 2019. Current conviction, 2002, armed robbery, 16 years. 2002, misconduct involving weapons, 3 years. And 2002, kidnapping, 16 years. Prior conviction, 1998, theft, 2 years, 6 months. 1998, theft, 1 year. 1998, criminal damage, 1 year. 1998, marijuana violation, 1 year. And 1998, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. He's had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 5.5, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is FCG ending information noted. He is a validated New Mexican Mafia, and he's suspected with Chicano. Prior terms of supervision, 1999, CIS completion, 7 months. Has a moderate disciplinary history with drugs and violence noted. Other arrests, 1993, theft, AV juvenile probation, and he has a community risk score of G6B8.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Guzman. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary, and do keep in mind you have supporters in this room, so they'll have a chance to speak near the end of the hearing, okay, sir?
Okay.
According to your case supervision summary, you released from the Department of Corrections. You were directed to live. Just one second. Oh, okay. On December 27, 2017, you are reinstated by the Board of Executive Clemency back to community supervision. You're assessed at the maximum supervision level for your ACCAT assessment completed on January 2, 2018. Again, you're released to V-Gray. You left V-Gray on January 14, 2018. You're absent more than 24 hours without permission. On January 14, 2018, you walked out the property without permission, and then you were discharged on the 17th. We have employment notes that you were previously employed with Dalco Plumbing in Glendale, Arizona. The trade check was verified, so we certainly commend you for being gainfully employed. In May 2017, you reported employment with JFM Mechanical in Phoenix. And on September 19, 2017, you reported that your left eye was struck by something at work and had to file for workman's comp. Programming notes, you referred the task of random drug testing. You submitted 8 negative urine specimens. You had a positive for methamphetamine in September 2017. Two more positives in October 2017, and then one more in November 2017. You submitted urine specimen positive for heroin on 9/12/2017, 9/27/2017. Observed using a device to submit urine spats, a part of a urine sample, on July 31st, 2017. You submitted diluted urine specimen in November 2017. You also failed to complete submitted urine specimen in September and November. Referred to CAP for programming early on. We'll just move to sanctions because we have quite a few notes. In August, you were staffed with CCO Menor for having been observed using a device to submit a urine sample. On July 31st, 2017. In November 28th, 2017, you're staffed by CCO Rich due to positive UA, denied drug abuse, and maintained that only drugs in the system were prescribed medications. Eventually, once confronted with the evidence of heroin abuse, you admitted sporadic heroin use over the last month. Consistently denied methamphetamine abuse. In October 2017, staffed by CCS Ramirez, I've been tested positive for methamphetamine. On October 10 and October 16, 2017, offered intensive treatment for Maricopa Reentry Center. Refused ITH, stated you'd rather go back to Browning Unit. You were sanctioned to enter, participate, and complete CAP. Report bi-monthly for 60 days until December 17, 2017. You can complete either sanction. And that finally ends the sanction note. So, Mr. Guzman, I will ask you, I heard what you stated earlier, but it still looks like that you're missing from community supervision for 17 days. So what was going on during that time?
17 days? That's when I was waiting I had to issue contact with them, but when I returned my phone calls, basically I was waiting for them to come in. That's what I was doing. I did not run, and knew where I was at. And
actually,
if you look at DDC's
record,
I was still showing up to my
counseling
practice.
Okay, and where were you at that you were waiting to be contacted?
I was at my house.
Okay, and I'm going to ask our community corrections officer a question, and that is, Mr. Guzman is making reference to making phone calls to people. Is there any record in your phone notes?
Sir, I see no records in the criminal notes, but also stated in the warrant of family members were contacted. Did not know his whereabouts were asked. He was asked. They were asked not to contact the mother because of her medical condition.
Okay. Back to you, Mr. Guzman. We have notes of you being admitted to the Abrazo Central campus. What was going on with you that required you to leave Vivo and be admitted into a healthcare center? Going through this record real quick, I know there's reference to asthma. I don't have anything in here about pneumonia. Is there some sort of reference in here about pneumonia? I just found it. Pardon me, I didn't mean to call you out. I saw the asthma, I didn't see the pneumonia. And how long were you in the facility again?
I was there for like three, four days, I think. I was exhausted on the day.
So when you came out, you tried to call your...
When I came out, I was going back to the halfway house. They came out and had been discharged. So I tried to call Peter Paulo. And I said, this is what's going on. I said, I'm all the way down there. I was on the floor. I went, dropped it, waited for him, and I went to the doctor. But then I got to the doctor, it was already closed. And he didn't return my text messages, he didn't return my phone calls. My mother tried to contact him. Like I said, they didn't know this really, I don't know what happened, but it seems to them, but they had all that stuff. And he never returned my phone calls. I didn't make messages in front of the energy machine. And he
never returned
my phone call either.
Okay, I'm going to take some further information from my community corrections officer, Mr. Guzman, if there's a hold on. Yes, sir, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir, in the notes, he did go back to Vivre on 114. He was then discharged. The PO attempted to contact him that same day. The notes on 118, he says he tried to contact him 480-878-0961, inquiring his location and directing him to contact his PO. The message was left, if that was the phone number, 480-878-0961. He was attempted to be contacted by the PO, and the PO received no call back.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. And again, just for clarification, I know fundamentally what the right answer is, but whose responsibility is it to follow up with the PO?
It's his responsibility to report to the officer. If you cannot contact him by phone, everybody knows where the office is. There's always an officer on standby, duty officer of the day, if you see anyone.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. I just wanted that for the record. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Excuse me. According to the information that we're looking at, it says that you left Vivre on January 11, 2018, and then you returned on January 14th. Then you walked off again on January 14th and never returned, sir.
Like I said, I didn't walk off the counseling. Call the hospital and call 911.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, sir, the paperwork says that on January 14th, you were in the hospital and you were released on January 16th. Okay?
Okay.
So on the 14th, that says when you walked off, but prior to the 14th, on January 11th, it says you left Vivre and returned on the 14th. You were absent for more than 24 hours without permission.
I understand the truth too, but I went back and put it, and then I told me that I was discharged when I got out of the hospital.
No, this is before you went to the hospital. You went to the hospital on the 14th, okay?
And
prior to going to the 14th on January 11th, it says that you walked off the property, that you left the property, and you returned on the 14th. That's prior to you going to the hospital. It says that you were gone for more than 24 hours without permission.
I don't know. I think I was on it when I was used to go. The day I went to go get my accident and all my other stuff, that's the only time that I left.
Did you stay gone for over 24 hours?
Well, they let you leave. They let me leave like at 5 o'clock in the morning. I came back at 4 o'clock at night.
Well, it says that you were gone from the 11th to the 14th, which is 3 days.
Oh. Because I was gone for very long, and then they discharged him back then.
Well, sir, I can't tell you why they didn't. I'm trying to stop.
I was not gone for them. The only time that I left was when I would go get my, once I get my driver's license, once I get my access, once I get my social security, when I was in the hospital.
Okay, sir. Thank you, Mr. Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions from fellow board members? Yes, Dr. Wright.
I have a question that I'd like to ask Mr. Osborne. He answered it when he gave me the report, and I just didn't get the correct date. Now, when did this board bring him back into, when the last time this board took any action regarding Mr. Guzman? I think you said December the what?
I have in the intake notes December 27, 2017, that I'm
Mr. Colonel. Yes, sir. That was at G4. He was reinstated back on December 27th.
What terms and conditions was he reinstated on? I think you said that he was on maximum supervision or something?
Yes, sir, he was maximum supervision.
Come to the podium and address the board? Okay, so you don't have a statement that you wish to make before the board. Okay, just want to make sure that you know that I don't know if it's your sister or
mother.
Who was the individual that was with you?
I'm not sure.
A young lady that just walked out.
That's my daughter.
Okay, she wasn't going to make a statement, is what I'm getting at. Okay, I just want to make sure that we're not cutting anybody off who needs to make a statement. Okay, Mr. Guzman, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement that you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? Really ask that you don't repeat yourself or repeat anything that you've already told the board, but this is your hearing, so is there any other information that you feel a need to share?
No, nothing like you. But what you're doing, I was ever up in the hospital with pneumonia, and I wasn't able to give the chance to complete that program. Back then, I just would like to give you that opportunity so I could do that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Guzman. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because you're on the telephone and you can't see us. But it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case. Mr. Guzman was given a second chance by this board when he was returned to community supervision. I do recognize that there is the business of him checking in the V-Way, struggling with some asthma and pneumonia issues, and that matches up to the time of year where there was a lot of that sort of illness going around. The problem is that he was missing from committee supervision for 17 days. And with respect to Mr. Guzman, because he's been very detailed about providing us with information and the circumstances surrounding him disappearing from community supervision, but I will say, as one individual board member, I'm just not finding him accountable for adhering to the conditions of community supervision, especially after having been given a second chance. But that's where I'll begin the discussion, and I'm certainly open to the wisdom and input of my colleagues. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Quijano, I agree with you. I also want to just state in there that under his residence, it says offenders. On 1/11/2018, the offender left Reedbay and returned on 1/14/2018. He was absent for more than 24 hours without permission. On 1/14, the offender walked off the property without permission. On 1/17, he was discharged. It states that prior to him going into the hospital, he had walked off the property and didn't return. And then when he returned, he left the hospital and left and went to the hospital. So that's prior to the information that we have on 1/14, he was in the hospital.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further input from fellow board members?
I have this medical report. December 30, 2017, diagnosed with some condition in his eye. This is the first two villages who have complained about this. There were three villages about that, and I don't know what the deal was.
Yeah, there was a reference to him being on workman's comp. Leading up to his revocation from York, but this particular information was about asthma pneumonia effective January 14th. Provided to us from board member 2018W0158, our discussion of Mr. Guzman, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Guzman is delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal as a company, inasmuch that he absconded from community supervision for 17 days as a reinstate, and that is my motion.
Seconded
by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Dr. Wright and Mr. Neal. Mr. Guzman, your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about, May 5th, 2019. You recognize that that is several months down the road, but you will reinstate. And we're just not finding you suitable for community supervision under these circumstances. We do wish you a safe return to the community when you complete your prison sentence. We encourage you to take advantage of any program that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections. And we wish you success upon your return to the community when you complete. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And we'd appreciate it if you give the phone back to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. Guzman.
Yeah. The CO3 guy?
Yes.